Tantal Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Between Frames by W. R. Gingell. Narrated by Zara Jane Naqui. 1. It's always during dinner that stuff happens. More specifically, it's always during the dinners that Jin Young picks. Ever since I've been here in this house, a human pet to two fae and a vampire, there's barely been a single dinner I've started to make for Jin Young that hasn't been interrupted. It doesn't happen when I cook for Zero. It doesn't happen when Athelas picks the menu, just when it's Jin Young's turn. Maybe it's a vampire thing. Anyway, it was dinner time, and it was Jin Young's choice of dinner. That meant I was scrounging the fridge for the remains of the kimchi I'd made last month and chopping stuff like chili and garlic to marinate the meat for chili con carne. It's a convenient meal when you don't know exactly when your owners are coming home. It needs to simmer for at least 4 hours to be tasty, and the longer the better. Most pets know when their owners get home by the sound of the front door opening and closing. My owners don't really use the front door a lot unless they're trying to look normal. Me, I know my owners are home when I feel that pull and snap of reality shifting aside to let them into the house. I was chopping red baby chili when I felt that particular pull and snap, but when I looked up, it wasn't my owners I saw across the kitchen from me. I saw a behind creature, all darkness and possibilities. Oh, great. Now they knew how to get into the house? It could have been male. It could almost have been human, but not quite. I saw myself reflected in the hard silver of its eyes. A skinny human girl, all arms and legs. It smirked. Yeah, just a human. No need to worry. Even the fact that I had a chopping knife in my hand didn't worry it. Just a human. It obviously didn't see that I was chopping chili. That was its mistake. It leapt for me, and I went over with a yelp, brandishing my knife. Lucky for me, it knocked the knife out of my hand, otherwise I probably would have fallen on it. Teeth snapped in my face, fetid breath clinging to them, and I kicked as hard as I could at the thing's torso. The behind creature didn't shift, but the world around us did, pulling and stretching and somehow merging with that second layer of reality that behind kind call between. The mongrel was trying to drag me between and behind. Zero! I yelled. Zero! The creature snicked its teeth together in what might have been a satisfied smirk and wrapped its long fingers around my neck, throttling the sound out of me. Oh, right. Zero was out of the house anyway. I snatched at the merging of realities around me, trying to pull myself back into the first layer, the human world. But the behind creature was stronger, and I hadn't had enough training yet. The world around us, either between or behind, I wasn't sure anymore, grew dark at the edges and closed in on the creature's face, the one spot of vision remaining. I couldn't pull myself back into the human world. I couldn't kick the creature again because it had pinned both my legs, and that vicious face grew dimmer as the creature throttled me without bothering to contain my flailing arms. Chili, said my brain. I know, I told it. Jin Young's going to be flaming annoyed. No, said my brain. Chili. I choked on my own saliva, my face hot and red, and stopped flailing. Then I gouged my thumbs into the creature's eye sockets. See how you like chili, you mucky tar beast? For a moment, everything stopped, and even the creature's hands froze around my throat. It blinked once or twice, the greasy click of its eyelids tapping against my thumbs like cockroach wings, and began to smile. The fingers around my neck tightened again. That's when the screaming started. At first I thought it was me. Then the creature threw me away from itself, wailing and tore at its eyes, stumbling in a circle that bled through between and the human world. That'll teach it to attack someone who's chopping chili. Ah, shipta, sighed someone from behind the distressed creature. I hauled in a painful, rattling sort of breath. Great, he must have just got home. My vision was starting to clear up. I could see the slender, besuited figure that was Jin Young. Shoes perfectly polished, suit perfectly creased, hair perfectly brushed. So flamin' annoying. Betu, Jin Young said, straightening his tie. What hair? Oh, I don't know, I said hoarsely, scrambling to my feet. Just thought it'd be nice to be attacked by a behind creature, you know, for a change. Bekopa? Yeah, well, I'm hungry too. I was interrupted before I could put dinner on to simmer and make some lunch. The behind kind creature, still howling, straightened itself. I don't know what it saw this time, but it wasn't smirking when it leapt for me, its tarry arms outstretched and its claws deadly sharp. I yelped again and ducked, and something swift and grey collided with a behind creature above my head, knocking it out of between and into the human world. I got up and hastily trotted myself right back into the human world after them. I'm capable of getting myself from the between world and into the human world when I'm not being stopped, but I can't say I enjoy being between by myself. By the time I got back, the behind creature was in a mangled pile on the kitchen floor, and the entire kitchen was spattered with tar or blood or whatever it was that constituted its insides. Jin Young, puffing a breath at the single lock that had fallen from his perfectly coiffed hair, narrowed his eyes at me, then looked down pointedly at the length of his body. His grey suit was now a black spotted grey suit, and none of the spots were tidy either. Even Jin Young's pouty little mouth wasn't red anymore. Tarry mess coated it, spilling down his chin and throat to make a complete wreck of the white shirt below that. I started grinning. Oh, what a shame! Your suit's all mucky! Jin Young's teeth showed just slightly, stained with black. Yeah. Hey, if you can't stop biting everything, don't blame me. You could have chopped off its head, but no, you had to go all psycho vampire on it. I mean, is that even blood? Jin Young shrugged. Bisute. I didn't know what that meant, but it was obvious that whatever had been inside the behind creature, it was similar enough to blood to appeal to Jin Young. I looked around at the mess on the kitchen walls, and worse, on the food I had just been preparing, and made a face. You wrecked dinner, I said. Nega? Nega? Ote oke? Nega? Hey, I didn't kill the thing, I pointed out. That was all you. Look, you've spread bits of him all over the bench. It's going to take me ages to clean it off, and I'll have to bin every bit of food I'd got ready. That was the last of the kimchi, too. Ish, muttered Jin Young, glaring at me. He turned on his heel and stalked into the bathroom. I heard the shower start up a minute or two later. Jin Young hadn't closed the door, which probably meant he was standing beneath the shower fully clothed. I'd seen him do that once or twice. If there's anything I've learned about vampires in the last couple of months, it's that they are neat and finicky to the point of OCD when it comes to clothes and house. Well, Jin Young is anyway. Maybe it's rude to generalise about vampires. Around the bathroom door, I called, "How come you're back before the others anyway?" I don't know why I bother to ask him stuff. It's not like I understand more than a couple of the things he says on any given day, and it's not like he's going to talk to me in English either. I heard him say something in Korean and caught the words busy and stupid. From that, he probably meant me to infer that Zero and Athelas were busy, but had expected me to be an idiot and so had sent him ahead. Ha, I said, poking my head around the door. Says you. Unfortunately, Jin Young's dripping jacket was in a soggy pile on the bathroom floor, and his shirt was just about to join it when I did so. I slapped a hand over my eyes and howled, "Yuck! Close the flaming door when you're going to do that!" "Kohjo!" snarled Jin Young, and a wet tarry business shirt hit me in the face. I knew what that word meant too, but even if I hadn't, the shirt in the face would have been pretty clear. "Yuck!" I complained again, feeling for the doorknob. I pulled the door shut and yelled through it, "Normal people, close the door!" He yelled something back, and I heard the word for person in there, followed by a negative, so I suppose he was saying that he wasn't a normal person. Yeah, as if I don't know that. I turned back toward the kitchen, peeling wet shirt and tar from my face, and grumbled under my breath. This was going to take ages to clean up. And how the heck were behind creatures getting into the house anyway? Hang on, you don't know about behind or between. I'm going to assume you know about the human world, though, so let's start there. There's the human world and the world of the Fae, amongst others. You might think it'd be called Fairy or Fairyland, but that just shows how much you know. The Fae world is the world behind the human world. Still connected to us, still insanely dangerously close, but sort of behind our world. And then there's the space between, where it could be here or could be there, just depending on how it feels. The sort of place where an umbrella might sometimes be a sword, and a stone gargoyle might suddenly become a bit more lifelike. The sort of place where you can die really quickly if you don't notice the shadowy changes creeping along the street toward you. And speaking of death creeping up on people through the front window, I could see two very familiar figures walking up the street. Ah, I said gloomily toward the closed bathroom door. Looks like they didn't trust you not to be stupid either, Mr. Slimline Suit. My other owners were coming home. In the lead was Zero, my half-human, half-fae owner. Huge and almost blindingly white, with shoulders as wide as the front door, Zero has a look of pure blue ice that can freeze the sun, and a certain way of saying pet that does much the same. If I stay behind him, he doesn't let anyone kill me, though, so that's pretty nice. A step behind him was Athelas, Fae steward and tea drinker. If Zero's roar could shake you to your bones with fear, Athelas could seep a chill into your bones with the softness of his voice. He seems harmless enough, all soft smile, laugh lines and brown curls, with milk coffee skin that makes him look sort of warm, you know? But he's not harmless. I know that because he's killed me about 6 times now. Yep, I'm still alive. You'll get used to that. I watched them come up the street while the jug boiled away merrily in the background, giving off the faint stench of tar from a few spots that had splashed on it. They'd probably want tea and coffee when they got in. I could see the blood on Zero from here, and Athelas always wants tea, whether or not he's bloody. It wasn't like I could give them lunch with the kitchen in this state. Funnily enough, they used the front door today. Usually they don't worry about stuff like doors or walls or, you know, natural laws of nature and that. They just slip between and pass right through the walls. Of course, now that you know about behind and between and all that weird stuff, maybe we should go back a bit. Back to this morning, maybe? This morning was when something big and magic twitched the whole house sideways and maybe tried to turn it inside out. I grabbed the umbrella, and maybe that seems like an odd thing to be grabbing, but this umbrella isn't always an umbrella. Sometimes it's a sword. And right then, it was definitely a sword, which meant that whatever was coming through between was something that shouldn't be getting into the house. Slender fingers pinched my right ear, tugging me away from the sword, but my fingers were already wrapped around the umbrella handle that felt like a sword grip, and I staggered sideways, pulling it out of the stand. "Manjijima," said Jin Young, tugging lightly on my ear again. "Look, the sword told me to pick it up, so who am I supposed to listen to?" "Ne mal du lo," he said threateningly. "Yeah, but if I listen to you, what about the sword?" Jin Young sighed, then reached over me and grabbed the umbrella sword. To my disappointment, it let him take it. I mean, I don't know what it would have done to stop him, but it would have been nice to see him get the magical equivalent of an electric shock again. "Darawa petu," he said, and pulled me back toward the living room by one wrist. "I can walk by myself," I said, and as I said it, there was a knock at the door. Nobody went to answer the front door for 2 reasons. First, if anyone went to the door, it should have been me because I was the pet. Second, The knock didn't come from the front door. Nope. It came from the linen closet door, which was already a sign that it was someone we didn't want in the house. If I'd had any say in it, I would have said not to open the door. I didn't, of course. You don't ask the pet whether or not you can open the door, and by the time I realised what was happening, our uninvited guests were already inside. So I shut my mouth. I might have also scooted just a smidge back behind Jin Young, whose fingers tightened around my wrist. It was the Golden Fae again, the emissary of the enforcers, who Zero used to work for, and who were still hoping that he'd come back and join them. And this time, he'd brought a couple more friends with him. Around Jin Young's arm, I saw the tightening of the Golden Fae's mouth as he saw Jin Young holding the umbrella. "Why does that thing have the Erling sword?" "Seriously? The bloke has been in the house twice, and he's comfortable enough to insult everyone?" I couldn't help feeling that he'd gotten far too confident for someone who had brought an offer to Zero and had been turned down pretty firmly. How come Zero wasn't kicking him out? I opened my mouth to say something rude, but I thought better of it a split second before Jin Young's fingers crushed my wrist. I kicked the back of his shiny shoes, then poked him in the ribs for good measure. I heard him mutter a complaint beneath his breath, but when I looked up at him, his cheeks were sharp in a dangerous smile directed at the Golden Fae. "Oi, ask him if he wants anything to eat," I muttered, tugging at a pinch of his suit coat. Jin Young's cheeks sharpened just a touch more, and his lips parted. "Hello," he said in Korean, that was layered through between and very carefully understandable to the Golden Fae. "Would you care for something to eat?" I was a bit disappointed when Zero, with a rumble that nearly shook the house, interrupted to demand of the Golden Fae, "What business is it of yours who I allow to bear my sword?" The Golden Fae's female lieutenant went just the tiniest bit pale, which I took as a sign of good sense, and exchanged looks with the other two Fae behind the Golden One. The Golden Fae didn't seem to be as wise. He just kept on going, "My lord, I really must protest. The Erling sword is not a weapon that should be borne by such things as that." He was speaking about Jin Young, but towards Zero, which broke the glaring match between him and Jin Young and took the threat level in the room down by a decent amount. I heard the faintest of sighs from Jin Young. "A shipta." Stroppy bloodsucker. He just wanted to fight. Usually it was Zero he was trying to fight. I much preferred him having a go at the Golden Fae. I thought the Fae could do with a good lesson too, and I was about as clueless to why Zero wouldn't allow it as Jin Young apparently was. Maybe it was the big brother in Zero that came out with me too. He wouldn't let other people fight me either. Though in my case, that was probably just as well until I got really good at fighting by myself. I mean, I was learning, trying, when I wasn't dying and stuff. But there's a difference between a fully trained behind kind and a fully trained human. Heck, I was pretty sure there was a difference between a newborn behind kind and a fully trained human, and I was betting the advantage wasn't going to be on the human side. "Jin Young bears the sword when I wish him to bear it," said Zero with finality. That was a stretch to the truth, if ever there was one. Jin Young was only bearing it because I'd been bearing it a minute or two ago, and it was even less proper for me to be doing it. Mind you, I'd rather bear the sword than bear with Jin Young, so there's that.
"Your father will be displeased."
I coughed a bit of a laugh into the shoulder of Jin Young's suit jacket and murmured just loud enough for him to hear, "He just pulled the 'I'm telling your dad on you' thing on Zero." Jin Young murmured back down at me, and then, "Jamie, I sure." Oh well, at least he was having fun.
"What my father thinks of it is very little to the point, is it?"
said Zero, ice and fire at once.
"He is not here, and I am certainly not there. I am a member of the enforcers, not the family." "But, my lord, we come with an offer from the enforcers," protested one of the Fae I hadn't seen before. Good for him. He was probably sick of the Golden Fae making a huge mess of their offers. I approved. Despite the fact that I didn't like or trust the Golden Fae, I wanted Zero to take what he'd been offered, and the Golden Fae wasn't helping his own case. What was the offer? Glad you asked. It was an offer to make sure no one bothered Zero while he made sure the humans around here were kept safe. Sounds like a job for the police, right? Well, the enforcers kind of are the police. The Fae version, anyway. There's no human version of what they are either, which means that Fae mostly get away with hurting humans with no one to help. Zero can help, but whether he will help or not is another question. Zero said flatly, "I gave an answer to your proposition last time my dwelling was invaded. Why are you bothering us again?"
"A new situation has arisen," said the Golden Fae, scowling back at the other Fae. "It has nothing to do with that previous offer. Though if you're willing to think that over again, I imagine that's why you've brought a few friends with you," suggested Athelas, gently swinging his foot. There was no reason for the movement but to show the assembled Fae that he was whole and hearty, which was worrying. Because if Athelas was trying to make sure that people thought he was whole and hearty, he was probably still feeling pretty awful. It made sense. We'd only just rescued him from a torture chamber the other day. He wasn't supposed to be up and fighting when his insides were still healing. Athelas's eyes met mine for one moment, then went back to the Golden Fae, faintly inquiring.
"They are here as representatives," said the Fae.
"Representatives of whom?" Zero asked him, voice hard. "And what situation has arisen?" One of the questions must have embarrassed the Fae, because he went slightly more bronzy about the cheeks and chin. I reckon I could have guessed which question it was that embarrassed him too, though I wasn't exactly sure why. It was the question he answered first.
"As always, I represent the enforcers and behind law."
Jin Young sniffed a laugh. "Godjit mal. Lie." I flicked a look up at him and saw that he had his hunting look on again, though it was more glittery and amused than usual, more like when he was threatening to fight me instead of Zero.
"How interesting," said Athelas, and his voice held a layer of amusement too. "I was under the impression that your branch of the enforcers is very, family-oriented."
"Do not tempt me," said the Fae through his teeth, "to teach you otherwise."
"I am singularly good at instruction myself,"
Athelas replied with a faint smile. "The situation," Zero reminded them both, the words icy cold. I shivered a bit, and so did the hand that still clung to Jin Young's suit jacket pressed between my chest and his arm. I let go. Maybe he thought I was going to move further into the room, because he tilted his head to glare down at me, one incisor a warning not to move. I would have stuck out my tongue at him, but the female lieutenant was watching me, so I shoved my hands in my pockets instead and grinned at her. "You lot want tea and coffee?" I asked.
"No,"
said the Golden Fae.
"Yes," said Zero.
I saw the way his eyes met Jin Young's eyes, and the very slight tip of his head toward the kitchen, so I wasn't surprised when Jin Young tugged me away into the kitchen by the cuff of my sleeve. He brought the umbrella sword with us as well, which meant that while I was getting tea and coffee, I could jerk my chin at it and ask, "What's he mean, ailing sword?" Jin Young raised both eyebrows at me and pursed his lips. That was his "not gonna tell you and what are you gonna do about it" look. Since the jug was still boiling, I thought about it for a bit, then said, "Ailing sword musen dusia?" He gave a short, incredulous laugh.
"Ya ban mal."
"Don't know what you mean," I said. Technically, it was true. I mean, I was pretty sure he was having a go at me for not being polite enough, but I didn't actually know the word he was using. Maybe if you spoke in English, I could understand you. His teeth showed in a snarl.
Ya betu, joshime.
I pulled a face at him.
Where?
Hangukamal hajima.
That made me grin as I filled a tray with tea and coffee and good things to eat. No way was I going to stop speaking Korean. I'm going to tell you something you probably don't already know. Learning Korean is hard. It's backward, and I mean almost literally backward from English. And what with learning Korean and how to fight, plus how not to die when it comes to between, my brain is just as floppy and tired as my body is these days. So, why learn it? Well, because it annoys the heck out of the vampire. Petty? Yeah, but then I am a pet. What? I already told you, I'm a pet. You didn't think pet was actually my name, did you? Nah, I've got a name, but right now everyone just calls me pet. It's better that way. If I'm a good pet, cook the dinner, stay behind Zero, stay alive, that sort of thing, I'll get my house back to myself. For good this time. I've got a fey agreement and everything. I was too busy being smug about annoying Jin Young. I didn't see the way he had his head tilted, like he was listening to something, until the jug stopped boiling and I realised I couldn't hear the others talking in the living room. I took one step toward the doorway and Jin Young also stepped swiftly forward, incisors showing.
Betsu,
he said in a purr.
Hajima.
Wasn't doing anything, I said, but I stepped back behind the kitchen bench. When he spoke all silky like that, with the glint of danger in his eyes, I didn't know whether or not I'd end up getting bitten. Flamin' rude, I thought, narrowing my eyes at the doorway. It wasn't just the fact that Jin Young had unmistakably told me I was to stay in the kitchen. It was the fact that I couldn't hear anything from the other room. Nothing.
Zilch.
Which meant Zero was doing something to make sure I couldn't hear. Well, that wasn't on. I mean, there probably wasn't much I could do about it, but beggar me if I wasn't going to try. I might be the pet, but there was no reason for them to be keeping me out of the conversation again. I spooned tea into Athalus's strainer, focusing on stealing even the smallest peep of noise from the other room, and there was a clear chime of metal against metal as the spoon tapped the strainer. As the chime lingered on the air, far longer than it should have done, I heard Athalus's voice say very clearly, "How unusual. I was under the impression that the higher-level family members in the human world were much better guarded than that. How did they manage to lose their hearts?" Okay, so he could have been talking about Faye falling in love, but I was going to bet...
"That is precisely what we wish to know," snapped the golden Faye. "It is unprecedented for Faye to have their hearts torn out, even those living in the human world."
Yep, there we go. Athalus's voice, fading with the chime on the air, said,
"Dear me. A novel method for dispatching Faye."
There was a professional kind of interest to his voice, like he was curious to know how the perpetrator had done it, or how he might replicate it. Maybe a faint sort of approval. It was the kind of tone that made me shiver, reminding me that Athalus was about as deadly as Zero when it came to dealing out death and destruction. Just a bit more polite about it, maybe. The chime was gone, but I thought I might just be able to keep hearing their voices. If I listened in just the right way, with a bit of between to the hearing...
"I see no reason to help the family," said Zero, very faint and scratchy.
Whatever he was doing, it was really hard to get around, even now that I was using a bit of between to make things more clear. Our interests not aligned. Flamin' heck, I was losing him. I saw a bit of between edging Zero's coffee cup and touched a finger to that instead of concentrating on Athalus's tea strainer. The cup could also have been an ornament. Well, was an ornament if you saw it the right way, between. Even now I could see the filigree and jet edges to it. That was probably because it was the cup Zero used all the time and between seems to attach itself to stuff and places so that behind can seep through into the human world, like a disease or something. And maybe I could use that connection to between to give me a bit of an opening.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?